The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please check out professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. Check out teespring.com/store/professionalcasual for fresh new swag. A huge shout out to our sponsor, BeardedDragonGames.online. Pick up all your local game store goodness from Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, or WFURP 4th Edition, as well as terrain, paints, board games, comics, and more. Make sure to use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for free domestic shipping or PCME10 for 10% off your total order at bearddragongames.online. Also, a special thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring the show. To get 10% off your order and to help support the show, use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout or use the link in the show notes.
Old World fans, the Professional Casual Network is starting a slow grow campaign in February 2024. The best part is, you can participate no matter where you are in the world. All you have to do is join our Discord and track your army's progress in the slow grow channels. We're starting February at 500 points and adding 250 points every month until we reach 2,000 points in August. Started late? Not a problem. Come join us in Discord to track your progress, get hobby tips, and help keep us all accountable throughout this campaign. Come grow with us in the old world. Hey, my electric casuals, and welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls, the best old world podcast on the internet. I'm Taylor, your personal grudge bearer, and with me, as always, are two of my absolute favorite people, my dwarf friends, Tim and Dan.
Hi.
Oh, shuckle my butters.
That's a new Pathfinder character voice right there.
I just came up with that phrase. You know what I mean? I feel like I heard it somewhere. Just kind of put it together.
Definitely have never heard you say that one before.
No, for real. Ever. I don't know the last time you were shuckling and buttering something, but you know what? We're going to move on. Today on Best, we are talking about the stuntiest of stunties, Darfs. I'm very excited about this.
Oh, we're talking about dwarves?
Talking about, no, not the stupid hat dwarves. Regular ones.
Whoa, but they have such nice hats, though.
Yeah, they're way better dwarves.
Have you considered playing the dwarves with the nice hats?
Yeah, you could do that.
What if you just did that?
Listen, I'm not into making things to then make them work against their will and not pay them. Like, I'm not
yeah,
into
you're
that
not
life.
Doing that. The chaos dwarves are.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about them. They're
well, you
awful.
Get to say Dawi Zar.
All right, that's actually pretty cool.
Yo, you can't do it. Come on.
Anything this with a Z in it is pretty
cool. This
dope.
Is a PG podcast.
That's a cool name. I need to make a complaint.
No, absolutely not. Before we get into all
make
this.
Make three. They're small.
I want to send a huge thank you to our beautiful and wonderful patrons who support us over on patreon.com/professionalcasual. These folks help us do what we do every single day. They keep the lights on and they keep Tim from eating his undershirts.
They're so good, though. Huge. And they only last so long.
Mine get holes in them all the time. It's probably from you eating them.
Well, yeah, just stop, leaving them near me.
It's not long.
Actually, that's a valid point. Huge shout out to our current Biggie Subbies. X-Paxis, Rob Dagna, Cider Drinker, Tony Hot Hands, Otis, Leroy, Iron Maze Wizards, Skills, Bicon, Briar Mage Tau, Cliff Jumper, and James. Hey, thanks, everybody. James. For everything. If you love the old world and you want to show your love and support, head over to patreon.com/professionalcasual and sign up at our Elector Casual tier, which is a dope tier. Like, you can cry out for the Elector Casuals, you know? Anyways, Dan, what's your stupid complaint?
Nobody told me we're talking about dwarves.
Yeah, by the way, this is, we're talking about dwarves today.
We've rescheduled it three times, Dan, that you're aware of this.
It's the dwarf deep dive.
Dwarves have been my number one opponent from the beginning. When my brother got me into this, he had the Dwarf Army book, the 6th edition core book, and a box of Dwarf Warriors. And I've always had a regular opponent with dwarves since. So they are the bad guys. They're a bunch of jerks that do everything good except move quickly. They're really bad at that.
Listen, every single time I play my combat dwarves, I wind up in your deployment zone, so I don't know what you're talking about.
They're still slow.
That's true.
Movement and initiative-wise. But no, they're a fantastic army. They're just... They've always been my enemy. Before I was an elf player, because I was a beastman player first.
Yeah, true. Yep, that is very true.
Bro, same. Even when I was a rats player, every time I'd roll a double down, they'd always tackle me instead of both of us going down, and I hated it.
So the entire army, let's get this out of the way, they have block, and it's incredible. Yeah, Tim, that's a Blood Bowl joke, by the way.
No, how am I supposed to run a gutter runner through all of your dwarves for a touchdown in the old world?
How many extra letters did you add to that? Dwarves.
Dwarves.
Oh, did I do that? That wasn't on purpose. Dude, I wish it was.
D-W-A-R-E-V-E-E-S-E.
I definitely thought you said that on purpose, dwarves.
I do not like that there is like auto captioning for this particular podcast.
It's actually really nice. Zencast is pretty dope.
It is.
Oh, that's funny.
But no, let's talk about Stunties, dude. Stunties, I've...
Sure.
They weren't my first army. I actually played Wood Elves as my first army, which I've talked about a lot, and they hate each other a lot.
Hate everybody.
Wood Elves. So why didn't they have hatred to everyone?
Because that would be ridiculous and broken.
Oh no, they just gave them initiative 10 and then always strikes first. Yeah, wow.
Yeah,
because so they just gave the other thing to Dark Elves instead.
Right,
boils down to be the same thing.
Right,
they're all Elvises.
Elvises, like dwarverbs.
Dude, elves are the worst.
For real.
They kind of are.
Well, dark elves are dope, but like all the other ones are like...
No, they're not.
Why? They do drugs, though.
And they also keep a lot of slaves.
Oh, yeah, that part's bad.
Like a lot of slaves.
Oh, well, if you just ignore that part of it.
Yeah, just ignore that part.
Let's not touch on that one. Anyways, dwarves are really dope, so you know, Battle for Skull Pass is one of the coolest boxes that's ever come out for this game ever, and it was Night Goblins versus Dwarves. Shut up.
Yeah, it's got Night Goblins in it. They're great.
The Night Goblins were so cool, and the Dwarves were so cool, and the terrain was so cool, and it was just the perfect little set.
How
and
were the rolls? Were they so cool?
The rolls, you know, if we don't get no tolls, then we don't eat no rolls, right?
That's fair. Yeah.
I just made that up.
Well, I've heard that before, definitely, somewhere. I think it was on an Easy Pass thing, but like, yeah.
No, for sure. That's on the contract to sign it. Wow, we are very on topic today. So Battle for Skull Pass, really great. And I was like, oh, I'm going to buy three of these because my wife is showing interest in goblins, right? And I wanted the dwarves because dwarves are super cool. And then she, you know, we played and she tabled me every single time we played. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing that's ever happened in my life. But I'm sticking with the dwarves.
Didn't she always wreck you in X-Wing too?
Yeah, we didn't play X-Wing a lot because I was like, I need one game.
I could just enjoy without you ruining it.
Right.
By playing it with me and being better.
I don't know where the nickname Tactical Taylor came from because it's not true.
Well, you know when to tactically fall.
Right. Oh, man. But yes, I'm super... Wow. Super huge fan of dwarves. I've always been a fan of dwarves, specifically like the whole Slayer mentality is just so metal. It's so awesome.
Actually, yeah, for real.
You know, just, man. And then Warhammer Online really solidified it as well with like their little cinematic intro with the Slayer going against the Black Orc. And the Slayer takes like an axe to the face, essentially, but like by the hilt and breaks the Orc's axe with his face.
Dude, for real, Warhammer Online did not have the longevity that it deserved.
Yeah, yes.
It was a very good game.
Yeah. Who was that? Mythic? They screwed up a lot of stuff, but the game was incredible.
Dude, I actually played humans in that game and enjoyed it.
What?
Like, not as my main. Like, don't give me that. Like, I was a Dark Elf Sorcerer, I think, as my main. Uh-huh. And then, I played, like, a Lion Pride something or other. I don't know. I was a melee.
It was a High Elf.
It was dope as heck. No, was it?
Yeah, the High Elf is a Lion Tamer.
Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead and edit that part out.
It's a White Lion of Trace.
I bought some human models yesterday.
Oh, nice. For what?
A Marauder Horseman.
For Dungeons & Dragons, 5e. The only time buying humans is worth it.
No. Oh, because you can play clerics, yeah, and they're overpowered.
Yeah, or wizards of Fae, but yeah,
right. So the dwarves in old not old world, geez, in Warhammer Online still stuck to me. I was like, dude, Ironbreakers are dope because you cannot move them. Like the engineer was super cool because I love plopping down turrets, right? And then they came out with the Slayer, which was just incredible. And then I always kept going back to a Bright Wizard because fire magic. Come on, man.
You like fire a lot.
I love fire. I love fire.
It's really hard to not like a fire wizard. Like,
you know? Yeah. Especially the way they did it, where it was like you build up combustion and it hurts you if you have too much of it. Like the winds of magic hurt you, and then you can just blow people up, snapping your fingers.
Those mechanics. That game was so rad. Really cool.
I have a mini from that game. It's a Blackwork.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Anyways, we're talking about dwarves today.
So anyway, I played Black Orcs in Warhammer Online.
Black Good job, Orcs, Tim. Black Orcs are actually super cool.
And a Squig Hunter.
Squig Hunters were dope too. But it's one of the biggest reasons I don't like Chaos Dwarves is because they made Black Orcs and then enslaved them.
Oh, yeah. And once again, I'm going to go ahead and, disengage from that.
If I just don't acknowledge it.
Yeah, that's, nope. And we're still not going to talk about this.
I know the lore, man.
I'm just going to keep bringing it back just to make Taylor uncomfortable.
Dan actually has something that we need to go over here real quick. It's regen.
Do you have the bell? Do you have the shame bell? Shame.
We do. We shame. Shame.
So we talked about regen quite a lot in the last couple episodes with ogres and tomb kings before that, talking about how it could potentially stack and not seeing too many instances where that could happen. I had a big, long conversation with somebody on Facebook today where someone proposed the question and I was like, oh, we talked about it on the show, like blah, blah, blah. This is why I think it should work. And the other guy, he was getting a little annoyed, nothing crazy. No insults or anything were thrown, but I could tell he at one point he was just like, if you don't understand it by now, I can't help you any further. And I was like,
I remember seeing that. Yeah.
So I reread some things and I totally get his argument that the cumulative special rule doesn't apply to regen because in the regeneration special rule, it doesn't say that it increases the save. Like, the example used in the rule book is armor piercing, and the armor piercing special rule specifically says that, you know, it gives you a bone, it increases your armor piercing even if you start with none. So my argument was then, but regen says it works like an armor save, but basically the idea is that, like, if you have heavy armor and then heavy armor again, you don't increase the heavy armor. If you have regen then regen again, you're not going to increase it.
Yeah, so, and that was...
Okay.
I think that really honestly makes so much sense because one of the arguments was like, if you get light armor with 6+ and light armor with 6+, you don't have light armor with 5+, right? Which just makes sense to me. I feel like regen should work the same.
Yeah.
So yeah,
and I say that as a Tomb Kings player, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
As someone that has a bunch of Tomb Kings and has never played them, I get it.
Soon, baby. Soon,
it's going to happen. It's happening.
It's going to happen. We're going to do it. We're doing it live.
There's a bunch of like behind me right now. I'm pretty stoked.
Oh, look at all them. Behind you. I thought you said by you. I'm trying to like look. Anyways, so let's crack right into it.
Swamp.
Let's crack right into it.
You're a swamp.
I almost said Tomb Kings.
Wow, that hurts, Dan. You shower every day.
I have to lash out because I'm upset that I was wrong.
Oh, yeah, I get that for you.
I can accept that I was wrong, and I can change my thinking. Doesn't
but only if you attack me? Okay, cool, Dan.
But doesn't mean I'm happy about it. You're not. I want ogres with a 2+ save. That was my whole point of that list.
Yeah, but you can't do it, can you?
Bleh.
You big nerd.
Yeah.
Oh, he does say that, though.
Big nerd?
No.
I do not say bleh, bleh, bleh.
That's a deep cut that I really appreciate.
I thought you would.
I want that damn bad guy. Anyways. So dwarves, they have this really cool, it's not army wide, but it's with a lot of, a lot of the units and mainly characters. It's called Grumryl armor, right? So this is star metal.
Isn't it cool?
It's super cool. This is star metal.
It's so good.
It's so good. So essentially,
I was going to say, what do you mean? I actually know what Gromril armor is because of Settling the Southlands. Thank gosh.
Yeah, it's unbelievably expensive. This is like Mithril.
No, you just give people a hat for it. I'm pretty certain.
That's definitely how it works. Yep. Yeah, dwarves wouldn't literally kill you for that trade.
Well, I was a dwarf. It's different.
Oh,
I was just trying to make queso fundido, man. Like, it's cool.
That's you literally,
gave
Gromril
away for a hat?
No, he got Gromril by giving dwarves a fake hat. It was a ceremonial,
a very nice replication.
You're a
slayer. It was a Lizardman Temple Guard helmet that he made a fake one of to give to somebody to complete their collection.
Oh, that's really terrible. And you were a dwarf?
I know better.
So you're a slayer now?
No, a bunch of them died, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah, you did something horrendously dishonorable to fellow dwarves and caused them to die.
No, listen, I don't know any better. I think that's okay by dwarves,
no, you're
right?
A slayer now.
No, they both had pretty good deaths. One of them was actually really dope.
It was an ogre.
You came back as a zombie for a bit. That was crazy.
Oh, that was not terrible. Cool, actually. That part.
You guys are real scared.
So Gromril, it's called Star Metal. Essentially, I believe the way it worked is it came down as an asteroid, part of an asteroid, and just like settled into the middle of the Earth. I think that's how it worked. Again, it's been a while since I've read the like fourth edition dwarf book. But they're family heirlooms passed down through many generations, and they like never dull, and it's really, really hard to penetrate that armor.
Humans call it meteoric iron because they have a little bit of it.
Yeah, dude, all the rune, not runesmiths, the rune fangs. I'm pretty sure those are all Gromril weapons, aren't they?
They might be. I just know, like, the Empire Army book used to have an item that was the armor of meteoric iron.
Yep.
And there was in the flavor text of it that told you it was Gromril.
And we'll get to runes at some point, but there is a master rune of Gromril. So usually armor does not go past a 3-up. 3-up is usually your best, unless you're, like,
Beastman.
Beastmen or
Dan lying about ogres,
or no, that's regen, but you're
yeah,
close.
Oh, gotcha.
Or yeah, like
you can make a
elves.
Beast lord 2+ save, which is ridiculous,
or like elves riding stupid dragon horses, right? There is a rune, it's called the Master Rune of Gromril, and it's essentially you have a 2-up all the time. I don't care what armor it's on, you have a 2-up armor save.
That's respectful, honestly, to the armor in lore. I feel for what limited amount I know about it.
It's real good. So Gromril armor, it allows you to reroll a natural 1 when making an armor save, which is, yeah, real good. So you give somebody a 2-up, rerolling 1s.
Tim plays dwarves now.
Huh. That's so weird. I'm a dwarf player now.
So you can get a dwarf lord who has a 2-up armor save, rerolling 1s with 6 wounds because he's on a shield and a whole bunch of stuff. It's really good.
Going to bed. I'm done. I hate that guy so much.
That's not even the worst.
And he's toughness 10.
Oh, no, I can't get both. But there is There is a unit of infantry that I have 30 of that are called Iron Breakers, and they have full plate armor, which is a 4-up save, plus shields, which is a 3-up save, and Gromril armor. So they have a 3-up armor save, rerolling 1s. They're so good. And the minis are dope too, because I have the old metal ones. So they're just a dwarf head to toe in metal, except for their beards are sticking out.
Yes. The only part of the dwarf you see is the beard, as it should be.
It's so good, man.
Because they're ugly.
No, stop that. No. It's because their beards deserve to be shown.
Yeah, they've been growing them for a long time.
That's right.
A lot of work and time.
Some of them even 2 weeks.
Has it been that long already?
No.
Yeah,
I can't wait for 2 weeks, though.
2 weeks tomorrow.
Crap.
No, but Gromr, the first game we played, Taylor had his dwarves and I had high elves, and I kept getting confused because high elves have Ithilmar armor. And I kept thinking it was the same thing.
Made up
because a lot of armies have rules like Ithilmar weapons or Gromril weapons or whatever it is, and sorceled weapons for chaos that are like, if you have just a basic hand weapon, nothing else, you have minus 1 AP.
Yep.
Almost every army has that. Ogres have it just in their stat block anyway. But like the armor rules are a little bit different. Like Ithilmar armor is not the same thing as Grommoral armor, like
correct
rules wise or lore wise.
Rules or lore. I'm actually trying to get to it, to look it up right now.
For Ithilmar?
Yes.
Mostly I wanted to make sure I was saying it right, because I often get it mixed up as where the TH and the L are. But yeah, Ithilmar weapons says when engaged in combat, a model with a special rule that is fighting. Oh, that's Ithilmar weapons. Ithilmar armor. Model with a special rule may reroll any wounds of one when making dangerous terrain tests. In addition, a wizard with this special rule may wear armor without penalty.
Yeah, that's not nearly as good.
Right?
No, the Ithilmar weapon, though, is one nice. It's a nice one, holy moly, because you have pretty good weapon skill on all your elves, and you get to reroll hit rolls of one, which is dope.
Right, so again, theirs is a little bit different. It's not the AP, but rerolling ones is like...
yeah, they're elves. Okay. They have to show off. Oh, look me, I'm different. I have different rules than you do.
Makes it confusing. But yeah, I mean, it's good for them because they're typically hitting on threes anyway, so rerolling ones is nice. But yeah, we're talking about dwarves today.
We certainly are. And let's start out with my favorite unit ever, which is a dwarf lord. Oh, man. This thing is a movement 3 beast with weapon skill 7. That's right. 7. This thing hits real hard.
He's like a lord of dwarves almost.
He's like a lord of dwarves. He's toughness 5.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about the king now? They're called the king. Dwarf kings?
The dwarf king. They're no. Yeah. I'm going to call him a dwarf lord forever. Yeah. He's toughness 5, which is the same toughness as an ogre.
Or a beast man.
Or a big beastie.
Why would you bring beast man into this again, Dan?
I'm going to keep doing it whenever I can.
And yeah, here's the best part.
You should be banned off TikTok.
Centaurs and banned. So, and here's the great thing, right? Leadership 10. There is nothing in this army that is below leadership 9.
That's stupid.
Nothing is below 9. And most things can get leadership 10 with a reroll. And you know, honestly, the Lord is pretty cheap too at 125 points. That's it. So you get 4 attacks, weapon skill 7, strength 4, toughness 5, 3 wounds, leadership 10 for 125 points. Real good. Real, real good. Plus it's rocking full plate with a Grommoral weapon and armor. And he has Ancestral Grudge, which means he has hatred enemy characters. And hates all characters in the opposing army. And if it's a part of a Longbeard or Hammerer unit, which he's going to, that whole unit gains that special rule. So the whole unit can reroll their first attacks against characters. It's just, it's so good. Thanes get it as well.
That sounds great, man.
Is that, are you done? Is that all of his rules?
No, I could keep going. He's also got...
magic resistance, hatred, orcs and goblins, rallying cry, resolute, stubborn.
I knew that part. I knew that dwarves were magically resistant. That makes me so excited, actually.
He's also stubborn. Which,
what is magically resistant doing this?
It costs
same thing it does in everything else.
Really?
Tries to take over the world.
They get a save to just be like, nah, magic's not real.
So that's how it used to be. Now when you target them with a magical, with a spell, that's what it's called, the spell.
Wow.
Sorry, I don't use them, so I don't know what to call them. When you target them with a spell, it costs like it costs 1 extra to get the spell off, essentially. So if the spell is a casting value 8, it goes up to casting value 9, more or less.
To me, that seems like not a huge... Well, wait, what's the benefit of it?
It definitely can. So it makes it more difficult. So if you target the unit that has magic resistance, it's harder to cast spells against
on that
them.
Unit. So by if you target
technically, well, technically what it does is it reduces the roll
right,
by one,
yeah,
which effectively same thing as Taylor said, just because it's resistance minus 1. But if you have magic resistance minus 2, then they're suffering -2 to their roll, which if they're a level 2 wizard, just balances out, like it gets rid of the bonus they would get. So that's just straight dice.
So that seems great, right? Because you're in control of the spells.
Right. So I don't cast spells.
Well, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. You're like, you know, that's built in.
Right. So when you are going to cast your magic missiles or your Doppeldonger spell against my unit of dwarves, you're at -1 to cast, essentially. Just because the dwarf lord is there.
Well, in Doppeldonging, it's not like an easy thing to do either. So like -1 is kind of a huge deal.
Oh, excuse me. I was wrong. It's the entire army.
Everything has magic resistance 1 at least.
At least.
Even like basic dwarf warriors.
Wait, I can. I'm allowed to not play against Taylor, right?
Yeah, I've had to deal with this forever.
No, I don't want to deal with it ever, though.
I can also take runes that just like say, "Oh, that spell you went to cast." No, it doesn't happen.
Yep, that happened to me when I played against my brother a few weeks ago.
That's real yucky.
It was icky. Yeah, it was a great spell that gave my whole big giant unit of 40 clan rats a 5-up ward save, and he was just like, "No, it doesn't work," even though you got the casting.
I really appreciate that we both use the same word, but in different ways. Yucky and icky are literally the two ways to describe that. Like,
and I think
dwarves are the anti-magic list. Like corn chaos or corn demons, like they don't like magic, but they're not super great. They have some magic resistance.
That's why they're bad demons, honestly.
They're the most best demons.
But they really have to work for it, whereas dwarves just have it everywhere.
Yeah, unless I throw a 65-point runesmith into a unit, and they have magic resistance, too. So now you're -2 to cast.
All right, I'm kind of starting to, like, side with Dan here, and I don't like that.
Right? I don't like, think that ever happened on this podcast.
I'm, like, not into that at all, but, like, if we can just kind of move past the magically resistant part and just go into the other parts, why they're bad.
Yeah, sure. We can talk about Forgefire next if you want to, speaking of runesmiths. So
flaming attacks.
You plop a
runesmith. I don't like that either, though.
Plop a runesmith into a unit. The entire unit gains armor bane 2 and flaming attacks.
I don't have so armor, good. And I'm also real flammable.
And then all of a sudden, their magic resists 2. It's really good.
Yeah, they're great. You skipped over the part where your army has magic, though.
Yes, they do.
Dude, it's such. It's like dwarves are gaslighters.
It hurts me.
It's not magic. I'm hammering it into armor. It's different, though.
So right, here's where
it's casting a spell. It's a bound spell.
Right, it is a bound spell. I have a hammer, though.
Yep. So you're striking, and
you can make Taylor mad. Just like whenever you say the hood has magic guns.
Well.
So here's the thing,
both
right?
In two sentences.
I don't like this, but this
is
the
way. Yeah, we can have Dan not on the show anymore, right?
Yeah, that's fine. I can mute him real quick.
This is my idea.
So dwarves create runes, right? And they create runes. They put it on armor. They
with
actually
magic.
And they have like Stop actual it. Runes that they like strike. It harnesses the winds of magic safely into an item because they have a rune on it, right? So
seems like it's pretty regulated
when you cast it. So here's the thing. It's a bound spell, right? So even if you miscast, there's no huge oopsies ouchies. Okay. Unless I'm remembering that from 8th edition and I'm completely wrong.
You seem like you're waiting for one of us to say yes.
I was, yes. I was looking directly at Dan's face.
Incredibly not the person for that.
So here's the thing, right?
I just got to double check if miscasting on bound items does anything.
So it used to be if it was a bound item, it just broke that item and you couldn't use it anymore.
Right.
Unless it was an innate bound spell in 8th edition. If you miscast with an innate bound spell, you just fail to cast. I don't really remember how it works anymore with this one. I was supposed to read up on those and I forgot.
I'll double check it while you're talking about the Anvil of Boom.
So essentially, the Anvil of Doom, yeah, so let's move on. Rune Lord, he's actually called a Forge Father in this. So an Anvil of Doom is essentially a war machine, right? It's a war machine character. You plop it on the table, and it doesn't move after you put it there, right? They have a 5-up ward save all the time. Their magic resists 3, so -3 to cast spells at them. They're unbreakable, which means they can't be breaked.
Yes.
Can't be breaked.
And you can't move it. It doesn't move. So essentially what happens is you strike the runes during, you know, different whatever phase you can strike.
Whatever phase the spell will be cast in,
right?
Yeah.
So there's 2 enchantment spells, a conveyance spell and a magic missile, right? So magic missile, we'll start with that one. It's the Rune of Wrath and Ruin. Essentially what's happening is there's this giant anvil on the battlefield and this Forge Father, this Rune Lord, it has this huge old hammer, plops a rune down and beats the tar out of it with this hammer, and magical energy, just like the winds of magic comes flying out of it, right? So casting value 9, which is pretty high. It's range 27 inches, which is insane.
What, 27?
I don't know why, but that's insane.
It's such a random value.
2d6 strength 4 hits, AP minus 2. It's real good. It's real good.
2d6 strength 4, AP 2.
AP minus 2. Yeah, at 27 inches, which is a random number, but whatever.
And they're power level 3, so you only need to roll a 6 on 2d6.
Right. So it's...
Well, now, hold on. So 27 inches is one short of a lot of standard ranges, right? Like 28 is kind of a... A bunch of people have that or not?
Sort of. I mean, bows are what, 24?
Yeah, long bows are 30. But I think it's because 24, like a lot of their measurements are in increments of 3 inches. So yeah, like but the 24 next two, is 2 feet and then 27, I guess. I don't know. That seems so random.
The next two were 24 inches.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, maybe it's a typo. Maybe it's supposed to be 24. That no, would I think
7's good. 27's great. It's
pretty sure
it's
supposed to be 7 inches. They added an extra 2 there.
No, they probably took 3 off, honestly. But so to me, that sounded like, you know, well, like dwarves, though. Like, listen, they're great, but like just add a little bit less range.
That's true, right? So 30 and now is you pretty guys standard have
kind
for
of the
things.
Opposite of that is that they're 3 inches more. But like, yeah. I still see it as like, oh, 28's the standard.
Yeah.
Dwarves, listen, they had their comeuppance. No, dwarves seem fine.
I got an idea. I think it's because typically your Anvil of Doom, you're not going to deploy right up on the deployment line. You're going to have it behind your blocks of infantry.
Oh, that's fair.
So that extra 3 inches is going to make it so they can actually hit things.
Yeah, because there's usually 2 feet
before they're
between,
right on top of them.
That's deployment. A great point, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, maybe.
Totally maybe.
Unless it is just a typo. Like that 2d6 strength 4 AP minus 2 was clearly a typo.
Yeah, it should be 5d6. You're right.
So I did find that bound spell says they don't suffer, they don't have a risk of suffering a miscast, but they also can't be cast with
irresistible,
the new term for
irresistible
force. What do they call it now?
Oops, all sixes.
I lost it.
Not suffering a miscast.
Yeah, so I can just do whatever I want, baby.
Fan me off, bud.
They can't have a perfect invocation either. So even if you roll double sixes, it can still be dispelled.
Yeah, I can't heck any of this. So the next one is Rune of Haste and Urgency.
Which, I got that joke. I'm so excited.
So the next one's Rune of Haste and Urgency. This is a conveyance, range 24 inches. Pick a unit. If they're not fleeing and they've already moved during this movement phase, they get to move again.
Them's fast dwarves. They're going
fast.
12 inches, maybe.
Dude, they're hasty and urgent. Real fast. We're like ogres. We're like onions.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, but you have a spell that does that too. Shut up.
Whoa. I haven't read it, though.
We read it on the show.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't listen to that.
He was playing
dwarves
a lot of
really
WoW.
Need this because their movement 3 is awful now.
It
like,
can
they're
be,
marching
yeah.
6 inches.
Yeah. And the not having the random 2d3 plus, yeah, it's brutal. 2d6, I mean, with charges. Charges are real hard for dwarves.
Yeah.
Rune of Hearth and Home is the next one. It's an enchantment 7 plus, so you only have to roll a 4 on this. Until the next start of turn subphase, all friendly dwarf units within 21 inches of the anvil are immune to psychology.
It's not 21 inches. This is the lowered by 3 this time.
Yeah.
Immune to psychology.
Does fear and terror count as psychology?
Yes.
Sure do.
Dwarves are stupid. Dan's my best friend. I don't even know who Taylor is.
So let's see. He's paying 235 points for this. And it can, the Forge Father can take other runes as well to do cool stuff.
He really can.
Wait, what? Come on.
And there's still one more rune to talk about. He hasn't even got
the rune
last
both
one.
Seal. It's cast on a 7 or an 11. It's range 24 inches. So if it's cast with a 7, target friendly unit may reroll any failed armor save at all, period. If it's cast at an 11, they get to reroll any failed armor save and increase their armor by 1.
What? Okay, you got to roll an 11, but still, you only have to roll an 8 on the dice.
Yep,
that's so not easy, but...
Block of 30 warriors with hand weapon shield.
You got to
rock
it
with a 3-up armor save and can reroll.
Rerolling ones. Rerolling any
armor
any
save.
Failed armor saves.
Yeah, dwarves are awesome, man.
I don't really want to go through the rest of this anymore. I didn't read over all the runes for that early when I was doing my notes. And
yeah, so Dan, you and I could just play each other, right? And we don't ever have to play against Taylor.
I can't wait to play against other dwarf players. Can't wait to have our first 2-on-1 army, our first 2-on-1 fight. We have like Tomb Kings and I don't know, lizard men versus Tomb Kings and Skaven versus dwarves.
We were actively recruiting other dwarf players to play against Taylor so we don't have to.
We got a couple easy picks.
So, speaking of one of the runes that you can give him, it's the Master Rune of Calm, which is a bound spell, level 2. It's the only other spell in the book. It's an 8 or an 11, cast on self. You're not going to want to take it on this guy. You're going to want to take it on somebody else. However, you can take it on this guy. If you cast it with an 8, you could cast it on this guy. Anyways, enemy wizards within 18 inches of the model increase the spell's casting level by 2. So it makes it harder to cast
drain
spells.
Magic.
If you, cast it with an 11, wizards within 36 inches.
Come on.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The worst part of this, Tim, is that it's effectively a wizard, so it can do all of these bound spells every turn.
Yeah, that's the part I hate. I want to so effectively be effectively a wizard. And I can't, though. I'm just a wizard. So I gotta, like, deal with all the BS that comes with that.
I can also use...
No. Dude, I got out of a vending machine, and I put the sticker on my armor so it works. Whatever, yeah. Cool, dwarves.
All those runesmiths and rune lords and everything, they can all do wizard dispels as well.
Yep.
Wait.
Yeah, runesmiths just count as a level 1 wizard for dispelling. Rune lords count as a level 2, and the Anvil of Doom counts as a level 3.
And then there's the Master Rune of Balance.
No, I think we stopped already.
I do a wizardly dispel ready, and I add an extra d6, and I just reduce, I take away the lowest. So, but that's not all.
Oh, wait, there's more?
There's more. So runesmiths with their heavy armor, which is actual Gromler armor, so they're rerolling ones, there's 65 points. 4 points, give them a great weapon. They got 2 attacks of strength 6, web skill 5, who cares? So now they're 69 points. They're like the best little, just plop them in the unit and just, you know, increase all the flaming attacks and the armor bane and all that sort of stuff. Plus it's hard to kill me.
Nice.
Plus I've got a great weapon. Runesmiths are dope.
So I really appreciate runesmiths as a whole. Out of the very limited selection of like novella that I've read about Warhammer.
Yeah.
Runesmiths are like, yo, let's go.
Runesmiths are dope. I
feel like you don't understand what dope means. You keep saying it here when you mean they're redonkulous.
I'm not trying to play against it when I'm reading a narrative. I'm like, yo, they're like pretending they're not wizards while being wizards actively.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, yo. That's my deal. Like, let's gaslight literally everyone around us into pretending we're not wizards while we're actively performing wizardry.
I don't like anything you would do.
All the time.
This is kind of hurting me at this point. So we're going to move on to Slayers.
Yo, Slayers are dope.
Slayers are so cool.
You got an ally here. Let's go.
Yeah, Slayers are the coolest thing in dwarves by far. Like, in terms of lore, they're the best.
They're pretty cool. Ironbreakers are the best, but they're pretty cool.
What do the Ironbreakers have in lore? They wear a bunch of armor.
No, you're right. Slayers are probably the best in lore.
The best. Sure. The first model I ever painted was a dwarf slayer.
Every slayer model that I've ever seen come out in this game has been incredible.
Yes.
I have a goblin hewer, Malachi Mackaisen's goblin hewer, yes. Which is incredible. Malachi Mackaisen. So you become a slayer if you do something horrendously dishonorable. You like refuse a challenge, you run away, you know, something like that. You shave your head, and then as your hair grows back, you grow it into a mohawk or some other crazy design like that, and you dye it orange, typically, right? And then you just use like anything that's disgusting and awful to keep that mohawk up, right? Malachi Mackaisen, he didn't follow those rules. Crazy engineer, always coming up with awesome technology. His technology,
like the unsinkable.
Yes, yeah, mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm, mm-hmm. his technology was so dangerous and killed so many dwarves, he goes, I'm probably a slayer now, and just shaved his head and was like, I'm gonna keep doing my thing though.
He's the slayer engineer. He's so good.
He's so dope. So the goblin hewer, Tim, there's no rules for it, unfortunately. It's literally just, it's a conveyor belt that picks up axes and throws them. Just
like big axes, like, too.
You may not think dwarves have a sense of humor, but they commit to the bit.
Yeah, if anything.
Nobody commits harder than dwarves.
Oh, dude, I might be a dwarf player now. Guess what I am?
They're resolute.
I'm not another one.
How many times can you get to play dwarves?
The goblin hewer is not in there because it's such a cool model.
Well, I do need someone else's dwarves models to play.
To play.
Yeah.
Okay.
Taylor's got a bunch dwarf of dwarf player, models.
But like, I need your dwarf models to do it.
No, I have 5,500 points of those. So yeah, we're Gucci. That.
Well, listen, dude, we're on our way together, you and me, to 10,000 points.
Dwarves v. dwarves. Nothing five. But dwarves dying on the field.
Dwarf on dwarf action, baby.
I'll commentate that battle report.
D&D, baby.
D&D. So we'll go into the Slayer, Slayers of Legends, Demon Slayers and Dragon Slayers. And they get these names, obviously, because, you know, like, you killed a demon, like a greater demon. You're Demon Slayer now. Good job. You did it. Right? The other ones are usually like Troll Slayers, etc. Giant Slayers, that sort of thing. But we won't touch too much on this. I just, Dan, do you want to go over Deathblow a little bit? At this point, it's way worse than it used to be, but it's still decent.
It's worse, but like, I'm glad they toned it down, because Slayers, while they have a huge penalty in that they don't wear armor, which is kind of nuts for a dwarf unit, Deathblow used to be just like, they get to make an attack and they have a great weapon, so they're going to kill whatever killed them. So now it's whenever a model with this special rule is reduced to zero wounds by an enemy attack during the combat phase. So you got a bunch of specific things there. The unit that made the attack suffers a strength three hit with an AP of -1.
Oh, it does have an AP.
Yes.
Oh, AP that's good one. At least. I mean, strength's
really good at kicking the shins there.
Yeah. I mean, having that AP is nice, because essentially it's like, you killed me, stupid goblin. Well, guess what? And you're dead too.
Well, and kicking shins against dwarves, right? Like, you're really aiming for the ankles.
Yeah, if a dwarf is kicking a shin, it's an ankle.
Yeah.
Most of the time, that's true.
But I appreciate the note with this as well, because it says, note, if this model is reduced to zero wounds whilst engaged in a challenge, it is the model that made the attack that suffers this hit rather than the unit.
I'm glad they clarified that.
Yes.
Because it used to just kind of go as shooting. So we'll talk about this, the demon and the dragon slayers here for a little bit, because they have their own rule as well. So slayers, I think slayers in general, they just constantly wound on a 4+.
Yeah.
Regardless of the target's toughness, right? So, which is really nice, but slayers of demons, they always wound on a 4+. Each unsaved wound inflicted by this character against, Tim, you're going to love this as a person who owns demons, against an enemy model that has the warp spawn special rule.
I like warp spawn.
Which is demons, or whose troop type is behemoth.
I like behemoth.
Yeah, it causes D3 wounds instead of 1. It's really good at killing demons and behemoths.
And big things.
I
don't like that.
There's
not allowed to play dwarves. Have we talked about this yet?
So the Slayer of Dragons has just the behemoth type.
Which is still very good. You know how many Slayers Taylor has?
Dude, you really got me in there. I was like, yeah, I'm going to like this. Wait, no! This hurts me!
And they're also unbreakable, so they just don't move. They're immune to psychology. They don't care about anything. They're all leadership 10.
But I care about psychology.
They're magic resistance, too. There's so many rules. They have killing blow just innately.
What?
Slayer is a legend.
Yeah, that's black of old world.
You're not wrong.
And Vanguard, so they just run up ahead of everybody.
That's also black of old world.
They just
How do they
care.
Give them 7 rules that are block of old world? That's
they got
BS.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 special rules.
Yeah, he underplayed it at 7 blocks.
Yep.
Give them 11.
They can also take great weapons with 100 points of runes. And the Demon Slayers can take talismanic runes, which is brand new. They used to not be able to do that. It's only 25 points, but who cares when you've got a 2-up single-use ward save?
So you can give him a ward that way, which is kind of nice.
You can give him 100
points of weapon runes. Oh,
dude, for real. And you're not going to like any of them. So, Rune of Smiting. Just innate multiple wounds D6. Master Rune of Skull of Blackhand. You always wound on a 2+ instead of a 4+. It was great. Master Rune of Ulrich the Mad. You don't get any armor saves against this. you want me to keep going? They're so good, dude. They're so good.
Why don't I have the same exact face? That's so rare.
Good.
Oh, man.
So, Tim, the worst part of this is runic weapons work differently. Like, dwarves don't get...
Oh, sure they do! Why wouldn't they?
So dwarves don't get access to magic weapon, magic items, or the common magic
items. Oh, they don't? At all. Seems like they do.
So you build your own magic items.
Yeah, you can put multiple runes on the same weapon.
Oh, cool. That's a cool ability.
So that 100-point magic weapon that a dwarf slayer, demon slayer can make, you can make it do, like... strike first, and you can throw it and it comes back to you like Mjolnir, and you can give it the always wounds on a 2+. Like, okay, yeah. So you can combine the Master Rune of Scalf Blackhammer. No, you can't have two Master Runes,
correct.
I still have that.
Yep.
It's
the Rune of Jealousy.
Oh, wait, what
Jealousy.
Am I looking?
Rule of
the
weapon rune.
Shocked continue. By that name.
So, like, do they still have, like, just +1? Oh, so Rune of Fury. You could put multiple runes of this on. You could put 4 runes of fury on the Demon Slayer's axe. 3, because the rule of 3. And they just get +3 attacks for 75 points.
Yep.
Oh, you know you're going to be playing Tim's Demons? Oh, take the Rune of Banishment for only 25 points. Enemy models with the Warp Spawn special rule cannot make ward saves against hits caused by a weapon with the Rune of Banishment.
So you don't get any ward saves, and I do multiple wounds D3.
Guess what? I only play 19 different armies. You don't know what 500-point army I'm going to come up with.
And they have Killing Blow, so if they roll a 6, you don't get an armor or a regen.
Already done. And they're just dead.
They're so good. I kind of just ignored them before, but they're actually really great.
Yeah, it's only 130 points too, so who cares?
230 points, because you're gonna spend that.
I think my favorite Master Rune for I don't know if I would put it on a Slayer, but my favorite Master Rune is Master Rune of Breaking. If I cause an unsaved wound on a character that's holding a magic item.
No.
Magic. Oh, no.
The magic item.
No, I like magic, though.
It's just broken. The magic item's gone.
Can't be used for the remainder of the game. I break it.
But,
Tim's face. He looks legitimately scared.
I'm sorry. Just a magic weapon. I'm sorry. So I break the magic weapon. I sunder
so
the
by flail
is this skulls. Why you guys waited so long for the dwarf episode? This is BS.
We should have saved it for last.
More. Yeah, right.
At this
exactly.
rate, we're going to have to do 2 episodes of this because there's so much stuff, and Tim and I are just going to be mad for 2 hours of
yeah, we're
podcast.
At 45 minutes at this point. We're at 45 minutes.
And we're not even done with characters. Like,
I hate agreeing with Dan so much, but it's just so obvious and overt.
That's rude.
So the mainstay.
No, I'm agreeing with you in a disrespectful way.
Yes.
The mainstay of the army is your dwarf warriors, your quarrelers, and your thunderers, right? Those are essentially all the same mini. It's just your warriors do combat, your quarrelers do shooting with crossbows, sure. and your sure. thunderers do shooting with handguns. Here's the difference between normal people and dwarves, though. Because dwarves.
Yeah, guess what? They're all odd job. I can't hit them. They can only hit me, and those are the rules.
Dwarves have this great rule called dwarf crafted. So when you charge me, normally it's a -1 to stand and shoot. Yeah, I don't suffer that. I don't care. I'm just going to shoot your face. I don't suffer that crap. I'm going to shoot your face.
Are dwarf. Do they just, oh, they're just handguns. Okay, so they're no longer handguns. Dwarf handguns, because they used to, like, instead, so now handguns suffer -2 to hit because they're ponderous if they move,
if you move
right?
Yep.
Because they used to have, didn't they used to have a rule that they didn't suffer moving and shooting, or am I just thinking of they didn't suffer the -1 to stand and shoot?
That might have been Quarrelers. They had a whole bunch of different, they toned down Quarrelers and Thunderers, not a lot, but a decent amount, right? They're still fantastic. They're still absolutely fantastic because you can also just give them great weapons as well. So even if you charge into my warriors who have happen to have handguns, oops, all strength five attacks coming back at you with my initiative two that I don't care about anyways. Like, I don't care about you charging me because I am close order and I'm leadership nine, so I'm not going to run away from you.
Yeah, so cool. Dwarves don't care about rules.
They don't care about rules, you know?
I thought they were like law abiding citizens, but they're just like, no, I don't believe in that one. So it doesn't exist.
No, they follow rules to the letter.
Oh, do they, Dan?
They just have their own that are different from everybody else's and a little bit better in most cases.
I tried that while getting pulled over. It doesn't work, Dan.
You can't claim sovereign citizenship. That is not a thing.
I mean,
you can. I don't know if it's going to work.
That won't do anything for you. What blows my mind here is that Quarrelers and Thunderers are the same cost now. They're 9 points each. Now, I gotta look up the rules for these weapons. Is it because crossbows have a longer range? Are they range 30?
Yes. Well, Quarrelers are 9 points. Thunderers are 10 points.
Oh, I was looking at leadership. Whoops.
No. So Quarrelers are 30 inch range. I'm pretty sure they're crossbows. Crossbows are a normal weapon, so I can look that up.
I'm pretty sure they're 30, and handguns are 24. I was looking at 9 across the board for leadership. Points 9, points 10. I got it now. I can read.
So the nice thing about crossbows, they're 30 inch range. The thing about it is they don't have an AP, but they are armor bane 2.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. A handgun has a baked in AP of 1 and it has armor bane 1. So handguns are nice. They're 6 inch less range, but you constantly have that AP on. Crossbows are also ponderous as well. They used to just all be move or shoot.
So crossbows they've made these more usable, crossbows and handguns, by making them ponderous instead of just, well, you got to wait your turn to shoot.
It makes the dwarf gun line not necessarily have to be a gun line, right? You don't have to move a little bit in there. Right, exactly. Well, you can move.
I feel like for these units, it's more about repositioning to get your arc of sight.
Yes.
As your enemy's barrel trying to get around to your flanks, these guys can move a little bit and shoot, and then the next round they're going to be even better. Instead of, all right, well, we took 3 steps forward to wheel just so we have a better arc of sight now because the enemy moved, and now we got to wait.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. I don't like fighting it, but I like that change.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's go into just a step up of a warrior. And by step up, I mean excruciatingly older than a regular dwarf warrior. And this is the dwarf longbeard. Dwarf longbeards are dope. They have an extra weapon skill than a warrior. They've got an extra strength than a warrior. And I think, no, they're not leadership 10. I thought they were. No. They also have venerable, which means any friendly unit within 6 inches can reroll panic test, which is super dope.
Crazy good.
They are just automatically veterans.
Yeah.
It's not like a 1 in 1,000 point. They are just veteran. They also have shield wall, which doesn't come up super often. More or less, that's once per game. Instead of falling back in good order, they just choose to give ground instead.
I mean, doesn't come up that often, except every single one of your dwarf units pretty much has this.
Longbeards have it. Dwarf warriors have it. Hammers. I think Ironbreakers do. They do. Shield wall is super dope. But the cool thing about longbeards, and especially for Tim, longbeards are just like an upgraded a little bit dwarf warrior.
A lot of it.
They have some better stats, right? And they... You can tell who the longbeards are because their beards literally touch the ground. Like
their beards are longer. It's crazy. Yeah.
Some of them like have to wrap them around like their heads and stuff. Like their beards are just so huge.
They're like Saiyans. You just wrap. It's a belt now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
You missed a big one for longbeards. Another reason why they cost 4 points more than a warrior.
They have
Gromril weapons.
Yeah.
So they always have at least AP 1. You can give them great weapons. Now I feel like it's a little bit of a choice.
Yep.
For 1 point a model, I feel like you might as well. And then you can kind of, if you need to not, you don't have to use the great weapon like you used to.
Right.
You can choose to use the hand weapon instead. Or if you just want to make them a little bit cheaper, you know, don't buy the great weapon, but They still have AP 1 on strength 4. Still good.
And then, yeah, so that's Longbeards. Longbeards are super dope. I have a big gross. Block of the metal ones with great weapons. I want to get some shield ones. Anyways, this is a unit that I really wish that I had. These are Dwarf Rangers. And essentially, they are, again...
Rangers?
I don't have any Rangers. Upgraded Warriors. But they're Scouts. So I can just put them on the table after deployment anywhere within 12 inches of someone. outside of 12 inches.
I think this is your second best unit in the army.
Easy. So they come with crossbows, which is a 30-inch range strength for a weapon. You can give them great weapons for 2 points, which is just a great idea.
You're gonna.
And they also, the old Deadeye, the champion, can get a brace of pistols or a pistol if they want to. They're skirmishers, which are awesome. These guys are so dope, dude.
Move through cover is huge.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yep. Oh my gosh. No, Rangers are super dope. Anything that is a dwarf that deploys closely is really great.
Yeah.
It's really, really great.
There, I think in my notes I think they might be the best unit in the book. And then I kept reading and found a different best unit in the book. I think Rangers are number 2 because of that versatility they add. You actually could potentially have a flank charger with dwarves, which is unheard of.
Yep.
Or just really good harassing unit with crossbows that scout.
The big thing is you actually have like skink skirmishers now. Like you have something that can just, you know, so Empire player throws down a great cannon and you're like, yeah, I've got, you know, 5 Rangers, I'm gonna go kill that thing, you know what I mean? And the 5 Rangers 55 points, which is, I don't know, a third of that great cannon. Like, you know, right?
Or you can go crazy and take a block.
Correct.
And have them get that flank charge off. Yes, they're open order and they're skirmishers, so you're not going to add a ton, but they're going to hit hard with those probably great weapons they've got. And there's still toughness or dwarves with heavy armor and probably shields too. Like, yeah, now you're talking 14 points a model, but they've got a lot of versatility. These guys are stupidly good.
Let's talk about probably the best murder machine unit in the entire game.
Is it hamburgers? It might be. Is it the thing that like Dan prefaced me? I can't even say the word right. Prefaced me to hate ahead of time. Is it hammerers?
It might be hammerers.
Oh, that's dumb, and I hate it.
I mean, it is hammerers.
All right. So the 2 times I've gone up against these hammerers so far in the old world, both times I was like, "Wait, they can do that? Wait, they can do that too? Wait, they don't suffer that penalty? They can do that too?"
Well, to be fair, as far as improv goes, hammerers are very good at yes and.
I didn't get that one.
As far as improv goes, hammerers are very good at yes and.
Oh, okay, yes and. Okay, I got it. Listen, I'm slow. Anyways,
I still don't get it.
Hammerers,
because they have this.
Yes.
Yes and.
Yes and.
Something else.
This.
Yes. And.
So their weapon skill 5, which is just dope, right? Because you're going to hit most things on 3s. Really great. They come with great hammers. It's not a great weapon. It's different and better. They have heavy armor. They have Gromra weapons. So if you don't want to use your great weapon because you're an idiot, you can use a Gromra weapon. Let's talk about the great weapon here for a second, shall we, Dan?
A great weapon.
Great hammer. Strength better. +2. So you're striking at strength 6. It does not make you always strike last, which is dope. Your initiative 2, so usually 3, excuse me. Your initiative 3. So usually you don't care about always strikes last, but at the same time, you get that 3-inch charge off. Girl, you are striking an initiative 6 with strength 6, AP -2, armor bane 2, and their magical attacks. Oh my gosh, these guys are so dope on the charge.
They make me so bad.
But they're magic though.
Did you charge me? Guess what I get? +1 initiative and attack.
Don't fight hammerers if you have any choice.
Oh, they're so
slow as anything. Just don't engage them unless you don't have a choice. Because if they charge you, they hit hard. If you charge them, they hit pretty much just as hard.
Yeah,
harder, because they get more attacks.
You could ban them from the game, but I'm not gonna.
did you mention they're also stubborn?
So they're stubborn. They also have shield wall. So if they,
did you mention they have shield wall?
Fallback.
Wait, what does shield wall do?
So if they go to fallback in good order, the first time, or I think it's the first, no, it's once per game. Instead of rolling the 2d6, take the highest and run away and turn around, they just back up 2 inches instead because screw you.
Oh, did you mention, there's gotta be something else here. Resolute.
Yeah, that one's not great, but let's go.
Oh, over. Royal Guard. Did Royal you mention Guard Royal Guard? Guard?
Yeah. So Royal Guard, if they have a king or you may include one unit of hammers for every king or thane you have, right? So you really can't take a lot, but you only need one. Any model in a unit of hammers that has been joined by a king or a thane can issue and accept challenges in the same manner as a character, right? So any model in that unit can accept a challenge and issue a challenge.
So I go in there and I'm like, all right, I got a high elf prince with strikes first, initiatives like 7. I don't care what your initiative is on your dwarves. He's riding a star dragon. He's like 600 points. I go, I'm going to challenge your dwarf king because I think I can kill it. Yep. And he's just like, oh, any one of my hammers. You have to kill every single one of my hammerers before you get to my king.
Yeah, Brian over there, don't know if you knew, he has a hammer.
And if you don't kill him, I'm going to strike back at you with 1. I don't care. Strength 6, AP minus 2, armor bane 2 attack.
I charge you, so you get 2 attacks.
Yeah, that's true.
Even worse.
They're so
good. I hate
good,
these man. Guys so much.
They're so good. Let's not even talk about.
Yeah, Dan, I feel like you're right here, man.
It's just both times I'm like.
That's for sure.
You charge them to try to get around them having initiative 6 on a dwarf, which is stupid. And they're still initiative 4, and they have more attacks. It makes me so mad.
Let me talk about the absolute 100% best banner to put on these hammers, too, because they can take a magic banner. As well. They can take a runic banner. Master Rune of Hesitation. If you charge me in my front arc, you don't count as charging.
Shut up.
Just for the purposes of choosing which weapon. So you charge me with lances, you don't get your plus to your strength. I still get plus 1 attack and initiative.
But Taylor, you're not playing the game. But you're not playing the game, you're just breaking the rules. It's stupid and I hate it.
But I like cavalry.
Dan, we're not. I'm not even gonna go down that road right now.
I'm not saying about horses. I like cavalry. They can beat other things.
Oh, I can also
not horses.
Boars.
Tim's gonna love this. I can give him a rune of courage.
Okay, fair.
I'm giving him a rune of courage that makes me just auto pass fear and terror.
Is that a banner too?
Yeah, it's 15
I'm
points.
About that one. Did you say 15?
Yeah.
That's my whole premise, man.
What do you mean 15?
15?
Why
that's
is
my prologue
it not
and my epilogue? There's like 9 chapters out of my 10 that are about fear and terror.
I need a break from dwarves, man. We need a part 2, I think.
Oh, let's talk about war machines here for a minute.
No, that's it. Just keeps.
Oh,
worse.
Great! There's more. Cool.
We haven't even gotten to the quote cavalry, which includes the best unit in the army.
Oh, gyrocopters? You're talking about gyrocopters?
Mm. Yes,
gyrocopters are dope.
Right.
Gyrocopters have like started a term around the network called helicoptering.
Thwappa, I mean, thwappa.
Gyrocopters are so good. We've already talked about them before we got to dwarves in like episode 1 or 2.
Yeah.
We were like, oh my God, these are the best things ever. And now that we have to talk about them in the sense that we have to fight against them, I hate them a lot.
Yeah. Sounds like that's a wrap. We're never going to play dwarves or play against them or with them. Yeah, I think that's a great idea that we've all come up with together.
So when we're going to talk about our 1,000 point list that we've each made, and Tim had the Discord made for him, probably, I included 2 because they're amazing.
I told you I didn't have time for that.
I said next time.
Next time.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Next time.
So dwarves part 2.
Cord, please make me a dwarf list that makes me not mad about this.
Dwarves part 2, Runic Boogaloo. It's going to be great.
I love that title.
And we'll jump right into gyrocopters and gyro bombers, which are the big brother of gyrocopters, and then all the war machines, all those grudge throwers and organ guns and flame cannons and ooh.
There's still 3 more infantry units to talk
about. Yeah, miners.
4 more
iron drakes, which are incredible.
Yeah, of course they are.
Troll hammer torpedoes are dope.
You have a weapon called a troll hammer torpedo.
24-inch range strength 8, AP
Yo,
minus
I got
three.
One of those from a Speedway.
That
one.
Sounds like a 40K weapon.
Flaming attacks, multiple wounds, D3.
That's a 40K weapon. That is a crack missile, sir. That no, it's not belong in this game.
It actually has a rune etched on it that says this end towards Tomb Kings. It's really weird how...
I'm leaving this call.
Oh, my god.
That's
gosh.
Not what I was going to say, but, like, it definitely has a rune etched in it.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, thanks for being here talking about dwarves. I had a lot of fun. This was a lot of fun.
I like this a lot. I'm going to get just as much flack when we talk about high elves, so I'm preparing for that. So
wait, are they as bad as this?
I don't think dwarves are a little bit better, to be honest.
Okay, thank God. Okay, I was not ready to be this mad.
I don't think
in another episode.
I warned you, sir.
There is a lot with high elves. They are pretty brutal. But
I don't think so.
There's two camps, right? There's one camp where people are like, dwarves are really freaking good in this game, and there's another camp where like dwarves are just not exactly where they should be. And I'm like, who are you playing against? You know what I mean?
Right, but I come from Blood Bowl, where everyone's like, yeah, dwarves, that dickhead. Like...
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks for being here, everybody. Thanks for listening in. This has been absolutely incredible. I can't wait for Dwarves Part 2. It's going to be so dope. Follow us on all the things. ProfessionalCasual.com is where you want to go. You can catch all of our stuff, including Dr. D's blogs, where he's going over his own lists for things that we're doing. Make sure you check the Ogre one, which he's did. And if I remind him that really we're doing funny. Dwarfs next, you know, he'll
there
probably
will be
have
an
more...
article about it.
Yeah. Sure. He's going to be real happy about it, I'm sure. But yeah, thanks for being here, everybody. And we'll see you in the next one.
Maybe Tim and I might be here. Maybe just be Taylor talking about dwarves for an hour.
Oh man, I might not be upset.
Listen,
with that.
I can be real mad about a lot of things.
It's gonna get worse, Tim. Don't worry.
So no, I don't like that. No, this was already bad enough.
So organ guns.
Oh, stop bringing up things I don't know what they mean, but I know I'll be more mad about later.
You will. How many shots do you want me to do? Oh, 20? Awesome.
That seems like an unreasonable amount.
All right, we'll see you guys in the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2e actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolfthorpe actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.